Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Perestivopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priest. My name is Father Ted Perestivopoulos, and I'm here with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, up in, I've been saying Calgary, but, you know, we were so used to the first 2 years saying Niverville, Manitoba, when Winnipeg. He's up in Calgary, and they have snow in Calgary, and we have, like, 15 degrees heat here in Toronto. But, Father Thomas, how is it with the snowy weather up there?
I was driving back from jiu-jitsu last night, and I was going like 60 kilometers an hour. It was like so slow. And you have like street lights were out, and then there's like these people with one headlight. I was like, I remember last December I got in that accident when I was going to jiu-jitsu. So I was like trying to be super careful now because insurance out here is so expensive, right? So I don't know if I will go tonight because the visibility is already horrible and it's just the daytime.
How much has it snowed?
I'm not exactly sure. I think we're supposed to get like up to 30 centimeters
already. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so it must have been snowing continuously throughout the night. So, and there's like a wind. So it's not like a nice, beautiful snow. It's like
blizzard,
hazardous driving snow. Not quite a blizzard. Yeah. But it's definitely, there's a weather warning and everything. So
it used to be back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Things are going good. So
nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, we're good here too. It's warm. So, you know, we're still going to jiu-jitsu in sandals. I've been going to jiu-jitsu sandals even in the winter, but you know, it's still mild here. It's like 15 degrees. Yesterday was like 19. It was so nice. It's like spring. It's very weird. Mm-hmm. It was cold last week. It went down to like 3-4 degrees, but now it's warm again. So it's still pretty good. We'll see what happens. They're saying that's going to stay warm this winter here. That's what they're predicting. So who knows? But we have a really, really special guest today. One that I've been looking forward to for a while. So his name is Raul Chavez, and he is first degree brown belt under Fernando Gringo Zulik at Action Reaction MMA. Very, very big and well-known gym and very well-known instructor. A black belt here in Toronto, part of the jiu-jitsu community. And he has been training since 2010. And what makes Raul very special is that he started a nonprofit organization called Project X Guard. Some of our listeners might already know about it because it's quite popular, especially on social media. And what they do is they are, providing mostly, amongst other things, training of BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, to underprivileged children, children who come from difficult backgrounds, children who are dealing with different disabilities, whether they be physical or mental, or low-income families. And so they are providing Jiu-Jitsu for them at nearly no cost, and, you know, just kind of providing an environment to build up their confidence, build up their, they're just their life skills, right? And this is a really wonderful thing. I'll let Raul talk about more on his own, but he's doing a wonderful thing, and I thought it'd be a wonderful thing to have him on the podcast, since, you know, of course we explore a lot of different topics, but of course the idea of charity and compassion and helping other human beings is central both to us as Orthodox Christians, but also I believe even in the jiu-jitsu world, right? These kind of virtues that exist within the art. So Raul, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here. Honestly, you said I can talk more about Project X Guard. I don't know what else there is more to say. You basically covered it. That was amazing. I've never said it so well in my life, what my project is about.
Okay, well, that's good. end of discussion. Okay, guys. So thank you for listening.
No, not really, yeah. But it, yeah. No, like in all honesty, I'm very glad to be here. I haven't really done a podcast in a while. So, any time I go on a podcast or anything that I'm doing in my life right now, I'm setting an intention, right? And just before I got on, my intention is, you know, is to start and connect with people that need to hear this message. Because right before the pandemic, we were, Project X Guard was like growing. We were in 5 different locations. I say we had about 70 students, you know, and we were going to go into a high school in Oshawa, and then the pandemic hit, and it caused the world and everyone in this world to change their course. And we went down to 2 kids, right? From about 70 kids, we lost the majority of them. We went down to 2 kids, but you know what? All I really say is I only need one. Right? And to change the world, you only need to affect the life of one person. And I had 2. So I was doubly blessed. Mm-hmm. And because I wasn't the only one to start a Project X Guard, this is a community-based organization. I couldn't have started this organization without the help of Gringo, without the support of my wife, without the support of the instructors who... Some of them were volunteering their time. But what happened was, you know, we started with 2 kids as well. And we grew from there, right? So it's been an amazing 3 years. You know, it's come full circle, right? And we're growing again. And I'm so blessed to have this opportunity because, like I said, my intention is, you know, for someone, even if it's only one person, to hear this and say, hey, you know what? I have this kid that I know that this will change their lives, right? Or it's the parent that's going to hear it or the kid themselves, right? So I hope it finds the way to whoever needs it.
Awesome. Yes, of course. And that's the thing, like we always kind of joke about it, even like as priests, right? So, okay, we're priests. One of our jobs is to preach, right? And then, you know, you got your good days and your bad days, right? And then it's always like you, some days you get up and you do like, let's say a sermon, right? Or you're talking to somebody or you're talking to a group of people and you feel it didn't really go very well, right? Like, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't speaking right. My mind wasn't there, whatever. Right? And you feel kind of down. And a lot of times it's like those days where you think you didn't do anything or you didn't do anything well. Those are times where people that come up will say, oh, you know, this kind of thing really touched me, or this stayed with me, or this changed my life, or it gave me a new perspective, right? And ironically, the days where you think you do really well, sometimes nobody understands or nobody gets touched by anything or nobody really takes away anything, right? So you never know. And that's why you just got to keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, God brings people the way he's supposed to bring them, right? Okay, so before we jump into kind of like, you know, a little bit more about, you know, what you're doing with the actual project, I just want to ask you a little bit more background about yourself. You know, did you grow up here in Toronto? Like, where were you born? Like, a little bit about your family and how you got into your own BJJ journey before we kind of get into, you know, how you started this whole endeavor.
Okay, so I did grow up I was born and raised in Toronto, right? And I always, well, this is only audio, but I always joke to everyone, but I don't look Canadian, right? You know what I mean? Because I'm like pure Hispanic looking. So I grew up in Toronto, and, you know, part of my journey was I grew up with, you know, a single mom. My dad was in and out of the picture. My dad was, you know, very abusive to my mom. When he was around, he'd be drunk, and a lot of this affected me, right? And this did have a lot to do with how jiu-jitsu would play a major role in my life afterwards, right? So, you know, when I was in school, I was bullied a lot. I liked to fight, you know. I got arrested several times growing up. So the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, you know, Project X Guard is about trying to connect with at-risk youth, right? And I was an at-risk youth. Honestly, I'm very, very lucky not to have served time, right? Because I was in and out of trouble. I had countless of run-ins with the law. And honestly, just you know, I don't know what kept me out of jail, but luckily I never went, right? Mm-hmm. And what happened was in 2010, I was training at a Muay Thai place. It was a Muay Thai place back then, but I forget the name now. But so what happened was I started my martial arts journey in Muay Thai, right? Lana Muay Thai, and my crew was Crew Mel Bellissimo, and amazing guy. And anyway, so I was looking for a place for my son to train, in Muay Thai. And what happened was, about a year later, they brought in jiu-jitsu. And once they brought in jiu-jitsu, is like I stopped doing Muay Thai, because there was something about jiu-jitsu that I just loved. And it was about, you know, I always thought, like, even though I'm short and stuff, I thought I was this tough guy, right? And then I was going against these people that I thought I should be kicking their butts on the mat, and I knew nothing. What I learned from jiu-jitsu was I knew nothing, right? And before, like, I used to love to fight, right? You know, I'd be drunk. You know, I used to do, like, and I don't mind sharing this because I've shared it before. I used to do cocaine every weekend, right? And, I didn't realize that all this stuff that I was doing was because I was hurting inside, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And and I was self-medicating, right? But what jiu-jitsu taught me was that, you know, I had another way to self-medicate, a positive way. Because I started meeting people that, you know, wanted to get better, that, you know, they had a healthier lifestyle, right? And jiu-jitsu was hard, right? Anything worthwhile doing in our lives is going to be hard. And then it gets easier. And then we start using, you know, whatever the world or universe is sending towards us, and we use it to our benefit. Just when somebody is attacking us, we use their pressure and leverage to reverse the situation. Mm-hmm. So I started training more and more, and we moved from the West End to Scarborough, and then we started training with Gringo. I only left over there because we moved from locations. Like it was a great, yeah.
Question for you. Where in the West End were you living?
North, like Western Road and Finch area.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause my church is at Black Creek and Trithewey.
Okay.
Not that far. So no, I live in the East.
I work at Jane and Western Road.
You're like literally 5 minutes from my church. You got to come by because I got a little mini dojo set up.
That's what I was going to say. I'm definitely going to come by.
I got a mini dojo set up. We got to roll.
Yeah, but I'm looking at you and I'm not sure I want to roll with you too much. You're a big guy.
Dude, I'm a gentle giant that people make fun of me that I don't use my size enough.
Yeah, so I'll teach you how to use your size.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely, right? But but that's the thing, right? You know, and like talking about gentle giants, right? Like, you know, this is the thing, is you meet people here in jiu-jitsu like yourself, right? You know, okay, everyone's not, let's say, enlightened and a priest like yourself, but, you know, guys that on the street can literally do some damage and years and years of training, but they don't feel the need to prove, because their ego doesn't need to go there. They're confident with themselves, right? So that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu, right? But once you know, right, like I roll with some amazing women, right, that kick my butt, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say this as a sexist thing, but I grew up in a very sexist era that, you know, women couldn't do anything, right? And if you're sexist and you say, okay, hey, you know, women can't do this, women can't do that, and then a 135-pound woman kicks your butt, why would you want to fight a 6-foot, 250-pound man, right? I'm just saying. So it humbles you. And jiu-jitsu humbled me to the fact that I don't have to battle my own ego on the streets. I'm thinking much clearer now.
Nice. And also, I think your whole family trains as well. Like you have children?
So I have three children. I have my oldest son is 18, Eduardo. My middle son is Cero. He's 15. And my daughter's 13. So my son Eduardo is in Ecuador right now. Mm-hmm. I sent him, I asked him to take a gap year to train jiu-jitsu, you know, for a nice. Year, but also to experience something else. So he's training jiu-jitsu in Ecuador.
Beautiful.
Setup is in Abu Dhabi representing Team Canada. And yeah. He competed last week. He competed on the first day. So he lost his first, went into the third place bracket, won the second, and then he lost his third, right? So he didn't medal, but the thing is, I'm trying to, again, you know, if we surround ourselves with better people, you know, right? People who can make us better, then we can have a better life, right? You know, whatever your version of better is, you know what I mean? But in terms of jiu-jitsu, right? You know, we're blessed. I'm very blessed to be part of one of the top teams in Ontario and in one of the top teams in Canada. And so are my kids, right? And they do very well, you know, but they're not committed. And I got to say, I haven't been committed either, right? And if we commit ourselves to something, to anything, you know, like even, you know, I understand, you know, talking with two fathers here, right? We commit ourselves to God, right? Mm-hmm. Then we can only become better in getting to know about that specific thing we want to learn more about, right?
Sure. And
it's, yeah. So I'm trying to expose him to what better can be so that he can try to be it, you know?
Yeah, like just to be there. It's, yeah. You know, I know there's all the cliches, oh, you know, whether you win or you learn. Of course, everybody wants to win and nobody feels good losing. But just to be there in Abu Dhabi, like the experience of it is a reward in itself. I was talking about this with Father Thomas, you know, a couple of weeks ago and a few episodes ago where it's like as soon as I got my blue belt, the first thing I did was I competed at Masters Worlds in Vegas. Okay.
Nice.
Now, I didn't win, right? You know, I won my first fight, I lost the second, right? But there was like 29 guys in my division. It's the Worlds, right? Even at my Masters, you know, Masters 3, ultra heavy, ginormous, elephant-sized people, right? But it was an honor just to be there. It was because it made me better, even though I would have liked to do better, but it was still a wonderful experience. It pushed me forward, right? And like you said, you surround yourself with good people, and you surround yourself with talent that, you know, even the guy that I lost to and the other people, they inspire me because I see what they do. And I'm like, oh, you know what? This is a seasoned blue belt. I'm a new blue belt. I'm jumping into the, you know, the bigger pond, right? I used to be the big fish at the top of white. Now you're jumping into the bigger pond. You're the little fish, but you want to be like that. So it gives you inspiration. So hopefully for your son, okay, he's going to go there. He has his experience with a good team around him, right? And even if he doesn't have a win or he doesn't have the wins that he wanted, it might inspire him to kind of come back with more enthusiasm, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm sorry for cutting in. But the thing is, I'm glad he didn't win, right? Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, you know, my kids are very talented, but, you know, I'm not, because of my work schedule, right? They can't go every day. Like now they're older, they can, but they never went every day. They were training 2 to 3 times a week, right? And
oh, good.
But I think it's a blessing in disguise, right? Because I've met, you know, numerous other kids and parents that, you know, they're no longer training, right? Like, anywhere, like, you know, from other academies, from where I train. So their kids, you know, I think were pushed too quickly and too fast. And they I guess they made up their mind, not like the kids said, hey, you know what? I'm not doing this no more. I don't want to do this. But my son, the reason I'm saying I'm glad he lost is because if he only trained part-time, right, and he goes and wins, then he's only going to be teaching himself that, you know, okay, I only need to give half an effort in life, right?
Yes, you know? Or that it's easy.
Exactly. You were talking about world masters, right? So in 2016, I won my division. It was light. I don't know if it was Master 3 or could have been Master 3. I don't know. Master 3, light blue belt division, right? So I won it. 2 years later, I'm like, I'm going to drop. So at purple belt, I dropped to feather, right? And my quarterfinal match, I was like beating, I was all over this guy. And the last minute, I tried to stall out, right? And this guy, in the last 20 seconds, he swept me. I was crushed. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. 1 year, I trained for the next one. So I gave a better effort. I lost to the, again, quarterfinal. I lost to the, and I said, I'm going to work on my guard. I'm going to work on this and that. I lost to the gold medalist, but I came away with that knowing that, hey, you know, I came away with a smile on my face because I know I gave more effort. The year before, I didn't give my whole effort. And I still know that I lost because I didn't give it 110%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be a world champion, right, in anything, you got to be better than, you got to train better. You got to eat better. You got to sleep better. You got to do everything better than anyone else, right? And what I tell my kids is, even though we win these, you know, gold medals and stuff, right? My point, you know, going back, bringing this full circle to Project X Guard is, in my kids or my kids from Project X Guard is, I don't care about that gold medal. Yes, it's fine to be a world champion, Olympic champion, whatever, but I want them to be world champions in life, right? Because jiu-jitsu is life. Jiu-jitsu literally saved my life. It taught me how to live a better life. Right. And if we apply everything that we learn in jiu-jitsu, I was telling you about mental jiu-jitsu, right? You know, if we learn that if we're in a difficult situation, right, then we need to learn techniques on how to get out of those situations. When you're a white belt, somebody mounting you, right? You tap right away. Same thing in life. Same thing in life. If we don't understand how to get out of the situation, we feel suffocated. We feel all this pressure and we end up tapping, right? Tapping can mean, you know, doing something like I did, right? Trying to start a fight or getting arrested, right? Giving up. Or for other people with, like, you know, serious mental health issues, like I suffered from anxiety, stress, depression. Some people want to give up on life on their own, right? Because no one's teaching them the skills in order to become a black belt in life, right? So this is how I'm trying to intertwine everything.
Sure, sure. And one more question. So you said you had three kids. What's the little one doing?
Oh, my daughter. So my daughter is, again, so they all started training like around, you know, when they were like four, right? So they've been training for 10 plus years, right? And my daughter, so they do wrestling with Team Impact. They do, jiu-jitsu. My daughter's like won Ontario Open numerous times and all that, right? But one of the things is, honestly, like, so I was, when they started competing, I got heavily into, you know, promoting whatever they did on win or lose on social media, right? But what happened was I realized that, you know, I was doing it for me, not for them, right? Mm-hmm. So they want a gold medal, and it's like, you know, all these comments, congratulations, you're a great father, blah blah blah, right? You know, and it was for me, so I stopped doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Like even if like they qualified for Abu Dhabi, I didn't post it. I don't, like, because I'm realizing, you know, and it wasn't easy, but I'm realizing I have to allow them to live their life how they want it, right? You know? So
yeah.
Luckily they love, like, they love the people. Okay, I'm not saying that they love jiu-jitsu as much as I do, because that would be a false statement. They're loving the friends that are made in jiu-jitsu, and that's why they go.
This resonates a lot with me because I also have three kids, and so twins, a boy and a girl, who are now almost 11. In January they'll be 11. I have another boy who's 7, and they've been training for about almost as long as I have, right? So about 3 years, right? And because they're younger, but and it was the same kind of temptation at the beginning. They love it, and thank God they train 2 to 3 times a week. And I think that's enough for their age, not to burn them out or to push them too much, as long as they enjoy it. And they love the community, of course. They love jiu-jitsu as well. At the very beginning, and like maybe a year in, I got really excited, and they're, you know, they haven't competed. My daughter really wants to compete, but I'm kind of, not that I'm afraid for them to compete, but I think I'm just holding back a bit, let them kind of build their skills a bit. And I don't want to push them too much. Like, you know, when they're ready, they're ready. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I was promoting them and putting on the Instagram and this and that. And it was exactly the same realization. They had their own Instagram page because their instructor would call them the Greek army because there's so many of them, right? And I was promoting. And then at one point I said, you know, like, yeah, it's like, am I doing this for myself more so for them? Will this put undue pressure on them? So I took that down. I got rid of all that. Very seldom like post things, just happy thing, like not anything serious or, if they get promoted, okay, put a picture, whatever, but nothing like too much. And you're right. It was exactly the same kind of realization that you let them live their lives and let them kind of, I support them and I push them to like train, not to be lazy, to keep going. Right. But not like you have to do this because you have to show me that you love me or something, or put that kind of stress on them. So it was the same thing, exactly the same thing. I had to pull back on the social media and stuff like that for them, right? So I understand what you're saying.
Good. I'm glad that we think along the same way.
Yeah.
For me, Raul, as a priest, it's more difficult. I don't like to talk about my past. Like, I'm a convert to the Orthodox faith, and I have a bad past. So sometimes stuff like that might scandalize parishioners or certain people who aren't as forgiving as they should be, let's say. But yeah, I have definitely, let's say, well-versed in drugs and stuff like that in my past. And I would say Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, helped me change my life. And I would say, and then shortly thereafter, I started jiu-jitsu. But jiu-jitsu helped me keep the path, as an ascetical discipline, right? Because when you're doing jiu-jitsu, you can't do all these other things that get you in trouble, right? And then you start going away from older friends. I even lost some friends. I remember some text messages. But it's like, I was raised by a single mother of four, right? So I think when I hear stories like this of what you're doing, I just always wonder how that would have affected a kid like me or my friends growing up. Me and all my friends were raised by single moms and in horrible situations. So maybe you could tell me and our listeners more about how Project X Guard exactly got started, like the organization itself.
Okay. So what day did I put it? It was 2018 is when we officially became a non-for-profit, but I don't know, around 2015, I was reading, I don't know if you remember, it's called Jits Magazine, right? So Jits Magazine, I used to subscribe. I think I still get it on email or whatever, but One day I was reading it, and it said top five non-for-profit jiu-jitsu in Brazil, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know, why can't I do that here, right? I guess we all need to have this question pop up into our head, like, why can't it happen here? So we can make it happen, right? And up until that point, I had a buddy who was like a film director, and I was giving about like him like $3,000 a year for these like documentaries he was making, right? And it had just wrapped up, and I made the decision I'm not going to give him any more money. But I'm like, you know, this is disposable income, money that honestly I would have used for alcohol or drugs in the past, right? I have this video. If you ever want to see it, go on YouTube, Instagram, whatever, like how I spent $240,000 on alcohol and drugs, right? You know what I mean? And so I started talking to Gringo, and I said, Gringo, if I were to sponsor some of your athletes, right, to go to the Worlds or whatever, international tournaments, would you allow me to use this space, right? And Gringo is, anyone who knows Gringo knows he has an amazing heart, right? He's like, yes, right away, right? So I got some instructors, and I made a little, okay, you know, you help me out, and then I'll send you to these tournaments, right? And, you know, learning process, because early days were out of three instructors, right? And I received maybe like four classes taught by them, but I sent them to their tournaments, right? So from that learning experience, what happened was, you know, it would be like every class taught would be a credit. So, you know, okay, you teach 10 classes and I'm giving you $20 per class. You've only earned $200, right? So from there, what happened was, you know, we started as a free program. And that's when I started, I had two kids free. I'm like, it's free. Do people realize how much this costs, right? Like, you know, some places from 1,000, other places like $2,000.
You got a minute?
Yeah, $2,000, right? And so I'm like, you know, I went to this event, and one of the speakers says there's no value in free, right? So because I heard this, we decided to start charging $10 a month. And as soon as I started charging $10 a month, more people started coming into the program, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And what happened was, you know, I grew up on welfare, right? I grew up using food banks, right? And so I know that, you know, the last dollar of a person that they have, that dollar can be as valued as $1,000 by somebody else, right? So then I've charged people a dollar, you know, because I know that's their last dollar, but I'm no longer going to give it away for free, because when you give it away for free, you know, the parents don't make that child come, because say, hey man, that's my last dollar, you know, you better go, right? You know, so
I'll use them. It's instilling the idea that the program has value for them, not like value like money, but I mean,
exactly.
The money's a symbol, right?
Exactly. And this is, you know, don't make any money, you know, off this program. I spend more money or we spend more money than anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I was coming up with the name, I was driving by one of the townhouse complex, Ontario Housing. I think it's called Toronto Housing Corporation now. But anyways, then I'm like, you know, this is the projects, right? You know, I grew up in the project, but this is a project, you know, project to change lives, right? And then it's like, you know, and I forget how I came up with the X card, but I'm like, Project X card. That's how I came up with the name, because, you know, this was born because I grew up in the projects, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And it's also a project, you know, like you said it perfectly. It's not only for people who don't have money. It's people that are having, you know, mental health issues, that get bullied, that are bullies, right? Because a lot of the love, and I'm sure you deal with this too, right, is only given to the victims, right? But the aggressors, right? Why are they the bullies, right? Because they don't have self-love, right?
Yes.
Something in their life happened, right? So there's a beautiful quote that I heard. It says, hurt people hurt people, right?
Yes.
So if you understand and you have compassion, right, for that person who's hurting that other person, right, then you're willing to get to know, okay, what's going on in your life? Why are you doing this, right? So, you know, that's why we opened it up to bullies too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The aggressors often are the ones who suffer silently.
Yes.
So then, Raul, do you like kind of counsel these kids or guide them in addition to jiu-jitsu lessons?
No, what I try to when we're doing a class, right? Yeah. I always try to like make them understand that these are life lessons. You know, there's some kids that, yes, I've spoken to them, and sometimes, honestly, you know what, it's not even like I try, because of COVID, you know, we went online, we made it a parent and kid class, right?
Yeah.
Because the thing is you know what, it's like you can change the kid, right? But the root cause is the parent.
100%. You know?
So I'm trying to work with the parents too, right? You know, and let them understand that, you know, come and see this, right? Come and join with your kid. And then when I'm talking to them, let them understand, like, hey, this is what we, you know, what we need to do, because the parents are, you know, maybe they don't have that skill set, right, to understand, right? And then once they start doing jiu-jitsu and surrounding themselves with these people, right? Because my hope is like, you know, there's some kids that I've given memberships to, and or we've given memberships to, because I don't want to, this is not me, this is a we thing, right? You know, that you know, my hope is that like they come in, and then, you know, some of them can afford to go to Gringo, and I want them to go and be part of Gringo's for as long as they can. This is a lifelong journey, and I want them to be, and I want their parents to go in the same direction, right? Because hanging around with other people that want to be better at jiu-jitsu, right? They eat better, right? They train better, right? And then if they're surrounded by better ideas, they become better by osmosis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So going back to your thing, I try as much as I can to make sure, because I only get them like twice a week, right?
Yeah.
You know, to hey, you know, I'm not letting you off. Right. I, you know, I'm hard on them because life is hard. Right. You know, I want them to compete. Going back to your point about not like, you know, not pushing your kids to compete. I do push my kids to compete. Right. The only reason is this, right, is because, you know what, is the battle is getting on the match. I don't care whether they win or lose. Right. Uh-huh. My kids, my three kids. Right. And the kids that have come out of my program, they're fighters, right? They don't win every match, but it's very hard to submit them, right? Mm-hmm. Because they learn how to fight, right? And this is the thing, is if we learn how to defend first, right, you know, okay, yes, we're going to get caught in the triangle, we're going to get caught in an arm bar. If we learn how to escape those, then you learn how to apply them, right? Mm-hmm. People want to learn how to do that thing first without learning the defense first, right? And I heard a podcast and one of the top guys was, this is how I've learned, right? We all have different ways that we want to learn. But again, you know, if you put him on the mat, right, and say, hey, you know, I'm proud of you for stepping on the mat. I don't care if you win or lose, right? I always say, make them know that they were in a fight, right? You know, just very quickly, my son was, I think you might know him because he trains with Dana. So Matthew Serrano, you know Matthew Serrano? He trains with Danis, right?
I know Danis.
Yeah, so this guy is like a top level judoka. This kid was moving up and he was submitting everybody, right? My son lost like 30-0. Okay. Right. And I was jumping for joy, right? Because he was the only one who never got submitted. Right. Because that's a victory in itself. Right. And if we find victories for our kids, right. You know, for ourselves in, hey, you know, this guy, you know, had a hard time with you. He did everything else to everybody else. And that's a victory. But sometimes, right. We're all focused on the only victory is that win and that gold medal. And that's not true. That's not true at all in life. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you mentioned at all before, are you a man of faith? Religious?
So one of the things is that, you know, I grew up in the Catholic church, yeah. Right? And because of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there were these Brazilians coming over before the pandemic and they couldn't speak English. Yeah. So I wanted to speak Portuguese with them. And I went on this app called HelloTalk. And okay. I met this Brazilian that told me about his church, right? And the church is called Snowball Church, right? And he's like, oh, we have one over here, right, in Toronto. So, you know, even though I was, you know, Catholic and, you know, baptized and all that, I wasn't, let's say, an active member, yeah. Right? I went to this church, the music that they play and everything is like, you know, that was the first time I felt the Holy Spirit, right? Oh. So, you know, it, again, jiu-jitsu has connected me, you know, with a lot of things and it helped me connect with God, right? You know, and beautiful people, right? And I believe, like, you know, I believe, this is my belief. I believe we all believe in the same God. There was a broken telephone somewhere. You know what I mean? people went and wanted to, you know, create their own thing. And this is, yeah. Oh, you know, this is my belief. But the thing is, I believe there's one God, you know, and we're all part of this one universe. Right.
So how has working with all these kids and affected, let's say, your life and your faith?
So it allows me to know that I have a purpose, mm-hmm. right? And by speaking here, you know, and by like, why did we connect, right? You know, because I know there's a higher power, you know, that there's a reason for me. Like I know, and this is not ego talking, right? I know I'm special. I know I'm different. And I know I am meant to affect the lives of millions, right? But you know what? It might be because I might just change the life of one person.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So this is what keeps me going, right? And knowing that God, like, and this is what I honestly say, because, you know, I think, like I said, I think there was a broken, you know, telephone somewhere. People call it different. So I say, you know, God, source, universe, whatever you want to call this greater energy, right? You know, there is something out there, right? But we're always looking for for God out there. And I think that we need to find God in here, right? And when we find God in here, right, everything, the path opens up, right? We're always looking for external, right? But when it's internal, and working with these kids allows me to know that I have a purpose in life, a mission, right? And that God gave me, like I said before, why didn't I go to jail, right? Like somebody, something was protecting me, right? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and allowing this message that, you know, hey, you know, when I said about mental jujitsu, I know that like mental health is a huge topic today, right? You know, so many people, not only because of COVID, but so many people are suffering. We need to train our mental health like we train for jiu-jitsu, how we train our bodies or whatever we do, right? You know, if we don't work on it, we're never going to get better at it. And only by learning techniques, right, in order to, like I do Wim Hof breathing, I do cold showers, I do cold exposure, minus 15, minus 30, I go to the lake to learn how mm-hmm. to control my breath. Sure. Whenever you guys want to go, we'll go. Right. You know what I mean? But
you I'll know, try it.
Yeah, it's a practice, right? Sure. Again, like, you know, I wasn't going to church every day. Right. You know, and that practice fell until I got reconnected. Mm-hmm. Right. So anything we want to get better at, right. And working with these kids, you know how many times I felt like I want to give up, like, hey, you know, these, you know, it's just two kids, you know, maybe this is done, but like this has given me the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I need to keep going forward. So,
yeah. Nice.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, of course, we're biased because we're priests and we always find connections, but there is a concept like in at least in Orthodox Christianity, which is classical Christianity, right? It's ancient, which is this idea of asceticism, right? Or askesis in Greek, which basically means to train. That's really what the word is in Greek, right? So it's this idea that, you know, you're doing repetitive training. And this of course applies to the spiritual life, but it's not a spiritual. People think, you know, when they think about spirituality, they think of something here, you know, or here, but like in your heart or your mind, right? They don't think of something physical. But for the Orthodox, we don't distinguish between the two. It's psychosomatic, right? It's very much embodied, right? It's, you got to use your body, your physical body. It's just as important as the soul, right? You're mixed, right? There's not one that's more powerful than the other. And that you got to use your body in asceticism. So even in the spiritual life, it's like, you're basically training over and over. You're drilling, just like you do in jiu-jitsu, the same things over and over again so that you can get good at it. Not just good, but excellent, right? Because you know how, you know, the saying goes that, you know, if you want to master something, you need 10,000 hours, right? That's what they say, whatever you're doing. So it's like, well, we do the exact, like the discipline that exists, at least in the Orthodox Church and asceticism, is very much akin to what we do in jiu-jitsu, right? You know, what is the ratio, right? It's like drilling 2/3 of the time and rolling 1/3 of the time. Okay. Some people disagree with this, right? But this idea of like, you know, drilling makes perfect, right? Drill, 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 drill. And then you can apply it. And even if you don't want to do it, or you're tired or you're lazy or discouraged, whatever, you still do it because you know that like in the long term, like your emotions are going to go up and down. Some days you feel good. Some days you feel bad, but that doesn't make a difference. You still got to do it. Right. So it's very much, you know, the same thing, exactly the same thing, like exactly what you were saying, that we do, like at least from a spiritual point of view, but that's why we like jujitsu so much, because it reinforces this kind of, and like you said, like you were going to church and then when you started doing that, you know, because you're also doing jujitsu consistently and you're also doing your spiritual life, because it all lines up, right? Because it's the same practice. It's the same practice.
Yes, yes. I like speaking about spirituality, like, you know, if you go, the beginning of martial arts, right? It's not about fighting. It like, yes, there was a, you know, fighting component to it, right? But the masters, it was more about spirituality, right? Like even for myself, you know what, like, you know, I had a problem too, like, because okay, I came from the Catholic Church, and the first time I entered the Muay Thai place, the guy's like, Bao, I think Buddha was there. He's like, Bao to Buddha. I'm like, okay, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, right? But it was about, it wasn't about bowing to, it was about honoring this place, right? And I look at these mats as a sacred place, right? I make sure that anybody who trains with me bows to go on it, right? Because if we see it as a sacred place and a place of learning, place of growth and enlightenment, right? You know, because there can be enlightenment in jiu-jitsu. Trust me.
Yes.
Trust me, right? You know?
You're preaching and, the fire.
Yeah. And what happens is, you know, if you go in and you bow, and then you bow when you come off because you're full of gratitude, right? Then your level of learning becomes much better. Then it's just, you know, and if we did this with everything, like, you know, learning about this intention, right? You know, if you go to pray, right, you have an intention when you pray, right? You know what I mean? And these are the things that, you know, I didn't know anything about this before I started jiu-jitsu, right? But jiu-jitsu opened up my mind, right, to all these beautiful things, right? So, again, it's a spiritual journey just as much as it is a physical and a fighting journey.
Nice. Well, Thomas, any other questions you got for our guest here?
That's a lot. That's a lot to take in and a lot to think about. I think it's good.
Yeah. Where can people or people are listening now, where can they find you, Raul? Like if someone's interested in the Project X Guard, if they have somebody in mind that they need, that needs the program, where can they, you know, where can they find you online or get information?
Okay. So, you can go on Instagram, Project X Guard, Facebook, Project X Guard. I think we have the website is projectxguard.ca, and then my number is there, right? You know, I'm not sure. I could. You have my number and email, right?
Sure, of course.
You can add it to the show notes, right?
Yeah,
and then people can just email me, right? You know, Facebook, great. Yeah, Project X Guard, or if you look me up, right, my name, and you find me, you can just message me directly and we can go. We're located in the North York area of Victoria Park and Steeles, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're more than welcome. We charge $10 a month. Can't afford $10 a month. You know, I don't care if it's a quarter. I don't care if it's 5 cents. You know, I'll help you out. We don't charge for geese. We get the geese sponsored. I mean, our donated used geese donated, you know, and we from time to time we whatever money we sometimes some of the instructors they volunteer their time, so I don't pay that money out. So what happens is we give memberships or scholarships to train full time there.
Nice, amazing, and what people don't realize either is that, you know, it's also a testament to the people who help you out, and especially the gym owners, because you know, for anybody who trains jiu-jitsu, they know how expensive it is. And of course, these people have overhead. These people run a business, and it's not just because jiu-jitsu, like you said, is a lifelong endeavor. When a gym owner agrees to help and agrees to kind of, for example, have underprivileged kids train at their facility for free or for very, very little money, that's a lifelong commitment that they're making. As long as they're in business, that's a lifelong commitment that they're making to these children who will become teens and adults, right? So you don't know how many years that's going to be. You don't know how long they're going to need the support. So that's a huge commitment. And it's a donation to those families, because that person is like not receiving any kind of income for many, many months and years, right? So it's a wonderful thing that they're doing. It's not just like one time, okay, here, let me donate to you a gi, or let me donate to you a few sessions, right? They're opening up their clubs, and I think that's an amazing thing and an admirable thing.
Yeah, if there is a gym owner out there, academy owner, that would, you know, and I'm not, if you look at it as a business decision, right, you know, these kids are going to be adults, and they're going to fall in love, you know, working adults. They're going to fall in love with jiu-jitsu. So they're going to be paying adults wanting to train somewhere. Where would they train? Where they were gifted this blessing of jiu-jitsu. So if anyone wants to talk to me, we can talk, and I would love to expand it.
Amazing. Well, on that note, I think that's a wonderful place to stop. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Father Thomas.
Me as well.
Yeah, it's we're really, really, really grateful for you coming on, and also more grateful for the work that you're doing. And we will support as much as we can and promote it. And it's just I wish that you will have many, many years of helping young people and continuing and expanding this wonderful program in the community.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, awesome, Raul. Well, thank you, and thank you to all our listeners. Again, check out Raul at Project X Guard. You can find him anywhere. Even if you Google it, it pops up right away. We thank you, and we will see everybody in the next in 2 weeks from now. Until then, take care, everybody.
Take care.
All right.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests. Feel free to download us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or anywhere else you get your content. Check us out on Instagram at The Fighting Priests. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at thefightingpriests@gmail.com. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul.